Then Ben-Gurion addressed the crowd, telling them that this was the first time after 2,000 years of exile that the Jewish people was celebrating the Festival of Freedom as a free nation in our own land. Even though we were still in the midst of heavy fighting, we were taking the risk and celebrating our renewed freedom. Welcome to Jerusalem 365, episode 192, A Seder to Remember. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. A wandering Aramean was my father, and he went down to Egypt and sojourned there with a few, and became there a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians evil entreated us, and afflicted us, and laid upon us hard bondage. And we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice, and looked on our affliction, and our labor, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and with an outstretched arm, and with great creation of awe, and with signs, and with wonders. This, according to Deuteronomy, is what was said by someone bringing the first fruits of his annual crop to the temple. These verses are also recited as part of the Haggadah, a succinct scriptural summation of the Exodus, said at the Seder. But there is another verse that comes after these, a verse also recited by ancient Jerusalemites, bringing of the fruit of their labor to the temple, a verse that does not appear in the standard Passover liturgy. And it is that verse that was strikingly reified in one incredible series of Seders that took place in a sacred city in 1948. As Rabbi Shlomo Goren prepared to oversee the conducting of Pesach Seders for thousands of Jewish soldiers, he understood that many would need to be conducted in various locations and one after the other. He knew that he would need knowledgeable individuals in order to ensure that the abbreviated ceremonies could hurriedly take place in the midst of the war, while the most important aspects of the liturgy would still be covered. He therefore decided to again ask the yeshiva students, whom he had originally assigned the task of koshering kitchens, to also conduct the Pesach ceremony. He writes in his memoir, quote, "The yeshiva students worked very hard, and had it not been for their work, I don't know if Jerusalem would have been able to observe Pesach properly and with kosher seders. I asked all those who were qualified to stay in Jerusalem and lead a seder, because we did not have enough qualified people in the army. The seders that were held in the army that year set an example for all the future seders that would be held in the army. This was the first year that organized seders were held in the army, and we did the best we could. The seders were led by the volunteer yeshiva students, who ran from one post to another under a hail of mortar shells and sniper fire. As Pesach Eve approached, the Arabs deliberately intensified their mortar fire to disrupt our holiday. They did whatever they could to prevent the Jews of Jerusalem from celebrating Pesach, and we did whatever we could to celebrate the holiday in the best possible way," end quote. Now, of course, to mark the holiday in the best possible way, more than matzah was required. After all, we also say in our Haggadah, "Moror zeh she'anu ochlim al shum ma," these bitter herbs that we eat, for what? "Al shum shemiru ha-mitzrim et chayei avoteinu b'mitzrayim," in memory of how the Egyptians embittered the lives of our ancestors in Egypt. But where in besieged Jerusalem, with supplies coming from a convoy that had gotten through, would fresh herbs for Passover be found? As Rabbi Goren describes it, providence intervened in the most unlikely of ways. Quote, "By divine providence, I was able to obtain a large amount of lettuce in Jerusalem in the middle of the siege. Here is how that happened. The British had set up a military court in Jerusalem for the purpose of judging the most severe, punishable by death offenses. This court was situated in a convent near Jerusalem's Kiryat Shmuel neighborhood, not far from where the president's residence is today. The court had taken over most of the convent building, but the nuns still lived in a few of the rooms. On one occasion, when I chanced to be there, I noticed that the nuns were growing lettuce in their garden. When I saw that there was quite a large quantity of lettuce, I went to the office of the convent and explained that Pesach was approaching and that we needed a large quantity of lettuce for our Seder night ceremonial meal. I asked the nuns to sell the lettuce to the army at full price. At first, the nuns said they did not want any money and that they were willing to give the lettuce to us at no charge for the sake of the fulfillment of the Torah commandment. However, I insisted on paying for the lettuce, and finally the nuns agreed. Thus, the fledgling Jewish army had enough lettuce for all the military seders in Jerusalem that year." End quote. It is a striking moment, a sweet story about bitter herbs. With matzah and maror, unleavened bread, and lettuce, the seders were convened by the yeshiva students at outposts all over Jerusalem, and especially at the Schneller base, which would mark the major outpost of Jewish forces in Jerusalem. At Schneller, one of the largest seders was attended by Rabbi Goren, as well as by a special visitor, David Ben-Gurion. Rabbi Goren described the event. Quote, "I addressed the crowd and told them, I'm sure you all know that it won't be possible for you all to sit around the Seder table and celebrate Pesach the way you are used to doing in your homes. But at least you will be able to mark this night and observe the mitzvot. So take some matzah, a cup of wine, and some lettuce, and let's have a seder. We conducted the seder standing because there were so many soldiers and there was no room to sit down. Then Ben-Gurion addressed the crowd, telling them that this was the first time after 2,000 years of exile that the Jewish people was celebrating the festival of freedom as a free nation in our own land. Even though we were still in the midst of heavy fighting, we were taking the risk and celebrating our renewed freedom. End quote. And Rabbi Goren adds an interesting detail, telling us further that, quote, the hall was packed so tightly with thousands of soldiers that it was impossible to make a path for Ben-Gurion to exit the hall. The soldiers picked him up and passed him from one to the other over their heads. That was the only way he could leave the building. End quote. Here, Rabbi Goren with Ben-Gurion captured what made this Seder so apt. As we've mentioned in Bible 365, the ancient Israelite farmer that brought his first fruits to the temple would add a further verse after describing the story of the Exodus. Words that are also in that passage in Deuteronomy. Words that are not mentioned in our Haggadah text today. After describing the miracles brought about by the Almighty in Egypt, then the farmer, speaking of God, would say, "And he has brought us into this place and given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey." This was said by anyone bringing their first fruits to the temple. Connecting the Exodus with the arrival into the land of Israel, the land of Israel where these first fruits were cultivated. And that, some rabbis explain, is perhaps why this passage originally ended up in the Haggadah. Before the destruction of the Second Temple, the Haggadah would have been recited in Jerusalem. Jews would have come from all over, including the diaspora, to mark the moment in the Holy Land. Deuteronomy's first fruits declaration was chosen to serve as part of the Passover recitation because it connected the tale of the Exodus to the entry into the land and was therefore the appropriate story to say as Jews celebrated in Jerusalem. But as rabbis such as Rabbi Menachem Kasher note, once the temple was destroyed and the Seder took place often in the diaspora rather than in Jerusalem, the verse describing the arrival into the land of Israel was dropped from the Haggadah text. But here, in 1948, at the Seders for the soldiers that were serving in what would essentially become the IDF, the forces of an independent Jewish army, the Seder celebrants could surely say that additional verse saying gratefully of God, "And he has brought us into this place and given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey." In contrast to the last Seder of 70 CE before Jerusalem fell, where acrimony and infighting reigned, here in 1948, unity dominated the scene. Rabbi Goren reports that, quote, "I did not know what was happening at all the various army positions, but the following day I received reports from soldiers who had been in positions far away from the main base. Some of the yeshiva students who had volunteered to prepare the positions for the Seder had planned to return to their homes for the holiday, but due to the circumstances, the lack of motorized transport and the constant shelling and gunfire toward the roads, the students had no alternative but to stay at the army positions for Seder night, and they did their best to conduct the Seders for the soldiers and create a holiday atmosphere." End quote. Jews of Jerusalem, almost 2,000 years after it fell, marked together the miracle of the return to the land on Passover, fulfilling the prayer said by so many in so many seders over hundreds and hundreds of years, words recited with hope in the diaspora, Hashata Hacha, Lashana Ba Ba'arad Yisrael. Now we are here, next year in the land of Israel. And of course, these soldiers embodied the fulfillment of the prayer, Lashana Haba Birushalayim, next year in Jerusalem. This was a Pesach of unity that redeemed a Pesach of acrimony that happened in Jerusalem so long before. This was a Pesach that set the stage for freedom and Jewish independence. This was a Pesach that deserves to be remembered to this day. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.